Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable discussion this morning. It is a delight to have you with us. We start off with this open discussion of issues. And joining me for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hello, Joe.
Consultant, Libby Post.
Hi, Joe.
And University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, Ms. Mary Armeo.
Hello.
Good morning. It seemed like I was reading like the fine print of a car ad at the bottom.
Yeah, it does.
In Wisconsin. excellent. It's great to have you aboard. Thank you very much. And we welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Let us begin with the president, and we'll do two stories here, sort of back to back. AIDS President Obama on Sunday offered a preview of the strategy of the president's State of the Union address, emphasizing Mr. Obama's willingness to bypass a gridlock Congress to achieve his goals. Dan Pfeiffer, the president's senior advisor, said the speech on Tuesday, which we will broadcast here on WAMC tomorrow night, would include proposals that he could pursue without Congress wielding executive power as he did last summer with his three-pronged plan to address climate change. So, basically, on the Sunday shows yesterday, the word was coming out that the president is ready to go it alone.
Oh, this is terrible, terrible. They're trying to kill the guy, and he says, okay, if you continue to try to kill me, I'm going to do whatever I can in order to get this program through. And they say, it's unconstitutional. It's
crazy.
It's violative of the balance of powers. It shouldn't be done that way.
Okay.
Unless they had the power.
Right, as you remove your tongue from your cheek, allow me to just ask, read this one comment from Jay Carney. Who says this, and then you tell me whether this is even possible to happen, which is, Jay Carney says, the president sees this as a year of action to work with Congress where he can and to bypass Congress where necessary to lift folks who want to come up into the middle class.
And it has always been so. I mean, that's what presidents do.
That's right.
And they, you know, if it's Ronald Reagan, who fortunately for him, he had Tip O'Neill, which made it a lot easier for him. Nevertheless.
But are you picturing a fractured relationship if you say, I'm going to work you with you
it's
when it's
already.
How can it be more fractured?
How can it be more fractured
well,
than
no,
it
I'm
already
saying,
is?
But I'm saying you're trying to repair a relationship, yes?
These people aren't interested in repairing this relationship. These people are interested in, and I'm talking about the Republicans in Congress, they're interested in keeping the relationship the way it is, to demonize Obama, you know, to make him as weak as they possibly can. And he's got a job to do, and he's going to get the job done.
Not,
and you
got to
do
that.
It the way you got to do it. And he's got powers, and he should use them.
Not only that, they take polls, mm-hmm. and they find out that the Congress is under tremendous pressure because they are so dysfunctional. And the president says, I think I'll have some of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid for Congress to do what they're doing.
Which they keep learning.
I know, but they really don't.
As we found out last week when they decided that maybe immigration reform was a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, they don't keep learning. I mean, this is the axiom of, you know, the rules for an elected official are to get elected and get reelected, and nowhere does governing get in between all of that.
I couldn't agree with you more. Rosemary has an interesting sort of benign
look
on her face.
Well, I mean, once again, we're sitting in here, we're trashing all the Republicans, and that is not how bipartisanship works. It works with the president making an effort, even in the face of incredibly recalcitrant and horrible human beings. Yeah, like the Republicans in Congress. But he isn't. He's obviously using the bully pulpit of the press, and tomorrow night we'll see it in the State of the Union. And, of course, this is under the looming shadow of the newest debt ceiling battle that's going to go on. Nothing has changed.
He is not talking
to these people who can make things move.
Let me ask you a question. If you were him, what would you do?
I'd be talking to John Boehner, who came really close to making a big deal with him and had to back off by conservatives who then were trounced when they shut the government.
Right.
So why isn't he talking to John Boehner, shutting up his mouth, talking to him and making a deal? Because it could happen. They could both be
great men. Well, except you just said why it can't happen. Because every time Boehner,
has not been. You won't see Boehner in this article that Joe's reading from the New York Times. It's McConnell who's up for election.
Rand Paul.
It's Rand Paul who's whatever he's running for, maybe president. And they will not be hurt by whatever the president does because they have a constituency that loves what they're doing.
Well,
so I don't see the advantage. Boehner's
up for election too.
Boehner is a guy who actually I think wants government to work. He is a career politician. He does not want to be president. He wants to be a great speaker, which he has not been. And he came very close to making a deal with
can't control his people.
He has a better chance at it now, Libby, than he ever did because of what happened after the shutdown. So, and you, if you heard him, he was on the circuit all this week talking about, well, yes, I went along with it. I told him it wasn't going to work, but what could I do? And he does have more control over
Okay,
them
so
now.
He says in this quote, Carney says the president sees this as a year of action to work with Congress where he can. So he's going to work with whoever he can work with, and he'll come to the table. But if Boehner can't
get that in, what paragraph
is that in? I don't know.
Well, Dan Pfeiffer,
the fourth paragraph.
Dan
Pfeiffer, what difference does it make?
Said on CNN that this approach was not intended to be confrontational. But Senator Rand Paul, who, by the way, will be giving...
he's not confrontational.
He says it sounds vaguely like a threat. Do you think it's a threat?
Yes, I took it as a threat.
So what? So what?
Well, I think that...
These people are
playing very well, obviously, to his liberal base.
Obama's liberal base, to the rest of us.
I vote Republican every once in a while.
I rarely do, but you cannot demonize the Republicans and expect that you're going to have good government.
What if their premise was we're going to shut this guy down from the minute he becomes president?
That is their premise. That's their stated premise. McConnell said that.
I'm sorry, and I don't mean this to be mean spirited, but how can you talk out of both sides of your mouth?
Because I can. When you are the president, you take on an impossible situation, which is what Obama did. He wanted this, and now he can't just throw up his hands and say,
wait a second.
It was always impossible.
More than usual?
What more than usual?
Do you think that they treated Obama?
Tell me that
Obama,
no other president treated Obama
the way they've treated past presidents of the United States?
Right.
I don't think
so. Oh, I think Andrew Jackson had this problem.
You're talking 150 years ago? I mean, this is different. Come on.
Why is it different?
Because you have a media cycle that lasts 10 minutes. I mean, it's 24/7.
Well, didn't we have this during the Clinton administration where you impeach the guy, and the only thing they had going for them was the economy was good and they were making money.
But Clinton did a lot of good.
And I may add to this in our discussion of Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, when the Supreme Court didn't do what he wanted them to do, even though the Supreme Court, I think, was right on the American Indian issue. He said they've made their decision. Now let them enforce it. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. He wasn't above playing with playing with.
I'm not opposed to the president doing any of these. And I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth. I reject that notion, Alan. This is a logical and very it goes straight down the line. The president does have a horrible deal. He does have a difficult situation, but he took on the job. He also has lots of powers, which he says he's going to use, making a big deal about using. He's been using them all along. He's been appointing people when Congress is out. He's been signing executive orders. Okay, more power to him. I don't think it's unconstitutional, which some Republicans are trying to say. On the other hand, when the two sides, the two branches, work together, you do end up with better legislation and better law and better governance.
Absolutely, if they are willing to come to the table, which they are not. They've said it over and over and over again. Sure, Boehner might not have been on the talk circuit, the Sunday show circuit this week. He'll be on it right after the show, right after Tuesday. He'll be on it next week.
I think it's really interesting that he was very quiet, and he and Obama came close. I hope that they'll get it.
So he'll have Eric Cantor out there doing his bidding.
How can you come close if by your own mouth?
Right.
That the right side of your mouth, by your own mouth.
I have two sides in my mouth.
You said exactly that they came close.
He was cut off by conservatives in his own party, who are now much more weakened than.
Well, I don't know about that.
We'll see. We will see. Let me tell you, there's an election coming. The rhetoric will
be
out
right
there.
Back there, babe.
I don't doubt that.
All these guys are in districts where there's not a problem.
But still, the rhetoric will, they will push it all to the right because they want to make sure they shore up the Tea Party base.
The studies, by the way, show that there will be continue to be split government after the midterm elections.
Sure
so none of this has changed anything.
Republican lawmakers said on Sunday that they would be willing to work with the White House on smaller points of agreement.
Yeah, smaller. Like what?
Well, immigration being one, but
that's small.
That's not small, but not to get the major work done. My question is, so if you have the president saying, okay, look, because you can't have it both ways, right, Alan? You can't turn around as the president and say, I've worked really, really hard. I can't get this done because of this Republican Congress, and then not at some point say, okay, but if I can't work with them, then I have to somehow move around them and still get things done.
Yeah, no, look, Joe, he has to fight. Harry Truman's greatest moment came when he said he was going to give him hell, and everybody yelled, give him hell, Harry, because they want to know somebody is fighting for their principles. They're not namby-pambying around in the middle somewhere. And this is an announcement. I'm going to go for it. I've got, how many years left in this thing? 2 years? And I'm going to use those 2 years as best I can. They didn't want the sort of presidencies of the past, like Carter's, at which the guy didn't seem to be in charge. This is a statement, I'm going to be in charge, and I like it.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll give Rosemary an opportunity to...
I have nothing more to say.
Okay, all right.
Oh, boy.
Yielding the floor, that's fine. We'll go on to another topic, somewhat related as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from the law offices of Reed and Vella, Del Mar, New York, providing legal services in estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and asset protection. 518-439-6001. Arts Mid-Hudson, a sponsor of County Players Falls Theater in Wappingers Falls, presenting the drama The Miracle Worker, weekends February 7th through February 22nd, countyplayers.org. And Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York, Drs. Susan Boja and Kara Bedore, providing comprehensive hearing and hearing aid services, hearingbest.com.
We're going to continue talking about the president and his agenda and get very specific in that agenda. And we welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. President Obama is launching an initiative to combat sexual assault, particularly on college campuses, turning the spotlight on a problem that has devastated millions of Americans yet rarely receives such White House attention. President Obama planned to sign a presidential memorandum this week, creating a task force to protect students from sexual assault, with a new White House report declaring that no one in America is more at risk of being raped or assaulted than college women. The report, Rape and Sexual Assault, A Renewed Call to Action, says that 1 in 5 women have been sexually assaulted at college, but that only 12% of student victims report the assault. The report was compiled by the White House Council on Women and Girls and was being released. It was released last Wednesday, actually, but the White House provided an advance copy to the Associated Press. It says nearly 22 million American women and 1.6 million men have been raped in their lifetimes, with victims more likely to suffer from depression, substance abuse, and a wide range of physical ailments, including chronic pain and diabetes. And the president has said that women have gone through such pains to get to college that it should not, this should not even be on the horizon once they are there, and to do something about it. I'm curious about two things: one, of the report itself, and then also the president of launching an initiative and to bringing it to a much higher level.
Okay, as the mother of three sons, I want to know what's wrong with the boys. Why is this necessary? And it isn't just our country. There's just an epidemic of these horrible, violent, terrible rapes. And I don't understand if this is something new. I certainly have not read about this as much as I have recently. Is it reporting has changed, or is it that attacks on women for what reason? That's what I want to know. Why are we so targeted? Don't you have mothers? Don't you have sisters? Don't you have girlfriends? Why is this happening? I love that the president brought it out on this level, in the same way that Duval Patrick gave a speech, a State of the State speech, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, pointing to the heroin use and addiction in Vermont. These are important
Massachusetts. But the Vermont governor did, Shumlin.
Yeah, I did get reverse that, didn't I? But you get the point. It's that politicians are using, and Cuomo did here in New York with gun control, too, I might point out. So to use that bully puppet to talk about important and seemingly intractable social problems is really important.
You know, this has been going on campuses for a very long time.
Right.
When
so
I was
why
on
now?
Campus, you know, we did women's safety. We did Don't Walk Alone, which was a program where volunteers came together, and if somebody was walking, male or female, from the library late at night and they didn't want to walk along back to their dorm, we put in the blue light system up at SUNY, University of Albany. You know, now because of, you know, it's finally getting to the point where, I mean, the president has two young girls. And he feels it.
The personal in politics is not bad. This is why we have liberation on gay rights, too, because so many politicians have children and relatives who are going through the issues caused by our insensitivity.
And it's time for us to look at this and really, really look at this. But then you juxtapose this with Mike Huckabee's comments over the weekend women need to control their libido and then they won't need birth control. And so
first of all, he spoke as if there were no women. He was only speaking, it was like the guys talking.
Yeah, the guys. Well, and that's part of this, is that this whole thing with sexual assault on campus, it's all about the guys and rallying around the flag. And I have to say this, when there were no frats on campus, this stuff wasn't as prevalent. When the frats come back on campus and you have that kind of old boy thing and rah-rah and let's get them drunk and let's do all this sort of stuff.
The frat mentality,
I've always felt this, the frat mentality leads to more of this kind of behavior.
I agree that that's a dangerous mentality and certainly fosters some of this, but I think the president was very wise to include that young men, whether they're in junior high school or high school or college, have a responsibility. And I thought that he was quite clear to men, saying we can do more to make sure that every young man out there, whether they're in wherever they're in junior high or high school or college or beyond, understand what's expected of them and what it means to be a man and to intervene if they see somebody else.
One of the most horrible incidences this year was the Steubenville rape case, and that was high school level, and it was a bunch of young men, athletes, star students, who acted like idiots. Where were their mothers, too?
They acted like they had every single right to do what they did, and that's the issue, that men are still being socialized, still to this day, and Mike Huckabee's comment is the underpinnings of this, still to this day, that it's okay to control women, it's okay for men to rape, for men to do whatever they want with women, because women are second-class citizens, and really, what does it matter?
So why does Huckabee do it?
He's clueless. He was clueless, and he was starting.
I don't know.
I think he may want back in the primaries.
Well, I think he's pandering to his audience.
Right to the right wing.
Yeah, but I don't know. You think?
Well, why is the Republican Party doing it? Why are we hearing from so many of these men saying abortion is bad and have the baby anyway, and women need protection?
Look what just happened in Texas.
They didn't get elected. None of those people got elected, Libby.
This woman in Texas is brain dead.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Horrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all these connections between
this is what we call a tease,
issues.
Libby. Yeah, you're.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're forward promoting
that.
No, that's fine.
This is part of the war on women.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It's
I really believe that exists. And add to that, Libby, women writers on the internet, women bloggers are far more likely than men to be shut down by trolls, by people who threaten and just bully. It's horrible.
What's the whole bullying?
Shut down women.
All of it. It's all. It's this whole bully mentality. We can do whatever we want. I mean, you know, you take it back to the Republicans. They feel they should be able to do whatever they want, from shutting down the government to shutting down a woman's womb. I mean, you know, and legalizing whatever kind of behavior they want to legalize.
Okay, now I'm getting mad. What are we doing about this?
Well, you know, we can have an organizing committee meeting after the show.
Okay, I'm ready.
I have Alan to say, is sitting here.
I couldn't agree with you guys.
I read the Huckabee remarks, and I thought, they've been taken out of context. And then I listened, and then I watched the tape.
You go to YouTube and listen.
And I thought, oh, my God.
See, and I just thought he was clueless. How could he just say
that? Yeah, well, that seems, I agree with you.
The Koch brothers, KOC.
We have 30 seconds, but go ahead.
They've started a committee that's aimed at picking only Republican candidates, very conservative, who can make it, who don't say stupid things like Mike Huckabee did.
Right.
So my Facebook post was, somebody ought to report Huckabee to them right
now. Unless they think it's not stupid.
You know, this is like some of the early anti-choice rhetoric where sex was bad.
Absolutely.
Scheidler.
Hold yourself. Yes. Hold yourself back. Have some control.
Right. Have a chastity belt.
You sirens.
On me.
All right.
Have a chastity belt on me. I'll do the
Now that I've ignited the fire, let me take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back.
I don't have a tail. I know, Joe, you're always saying we love to hear from you, but I did not love the comments that we got in this break.
No, that's okay. We're going to go further and talk about other topics, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
No, but first, I'm going to say this. We got some comments. Not too many, but we did get some that Libby and I are having a cat fight, which
right.
I find extremely
that's not right.
sexist.
That's not
we
right.
we are not yelling at each other. We are in agreement, and we are not cats or kittens. And we are having an animated discussion, which is what you would call it if you and Alan had been having the same discussion.
Then it would have been
a scholarly giraffe animated discussion.
Giraffe
fight.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Am I wrong, Libby?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's we're having a animated,
spirited
dialogue.
Yeah, that's passion, folks. Radio that is not a cat fight,
and that's what radio is all about.
Okay, I'm done now.
WAMC is all about.
Well, that's what. I mean, ours was. I loved what you guys were doing. I mean, I loved the fact that we had an animated discussion over an issue, and both sides were presented extraordinarily well. And that, to me, that's what it's about.
Okay, we can go on now, Joe.
Okay,
we're
good.
We're done.
Well, and now we can. You can either continue in that vein or prove everybody wrong and fight like hell on another issue. Well, let's go with this one. A Fort Worth hospital that kept a pregnant, brain dead woman on life support for 2 months followed a judge's order on Sunday and removed her from the machines, ending her family's legal fight to have her pronounced dead and to challenge a Texas law that prohibits medical officials from cutting off life support to a pregnant woman. On Friday, a state district judge ordered John Peter Smith Hospital to remove the woman from life support machines by 5 p.m. on Monday. The judge ruled that the state law barring doctors from withdrawing life-sustaining treatment to pregnant women did not apply in this case because she was never brain dead and therefore legally dead. The hospitals refused to honor the family's request to disconnect her, claiming that the law prevented them from doing so until they could perform a cesarean delivery. But on Sunday, the hospital decided against appealing the judge's decision and announced that it would follow its ruling. The JPS Health Network, which runs John Peter Smith Hospital as part of the taxpayer-financed County Hospital District, said in a statement that the past several weeks had been difficult for both the family and her caregivers, but it defended its handling of the case.
Boy, this is a nightmare. It's like the zombie apocalypse, you know. Keep your dead wife alive. Keep her corpse going so that you can pump out this baby or pull it out, actually. And the baby is also in trouble. You left that out. The baby has hydrocephalus. It had deformities. It was a terrible situation.
Died, they think of a pulmonary embolism. Right. If that's the case, and I've had those, if that's the case, the baby was denied blood and oxygen. I mean, but above and beyond that, who are these people to tell a family, the people who have the legal right to make these decisions? Who's the government? This is, you know, they don't want us to have a libido, but if we do, they want to control it and they want to control what goes on in our bodies. I find this to be so disgusting, and it makes me so angry because this woman had the right to die. I think we all have the right to die with dignity, and she made her wishes clear, and her family was behind those wishes, and they wanted to, you know, we're sorry for the suffering of the family. They have no clue what that family went through.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is not a right to die case. This is an abortion issue because the law in Texas is that you may not kill the mother. You may not, deny life-threatening treatment to a mother in this situation because you're protecting the baby. So she did have a right to. She had signed all the stuff. The family, you're right, absolutely knew what those wishes were. She did have a right to die. That was denied in favor of this unborn and really defective fetus. It's terrible. The worst situation I can imagine.
You know, I can't.
Government should not be involved.
My mother had a clotting issue, okay? And when she was carrying me, she had phlebitis, you know, which is a blood clot. And she had many other things. And she, you know, I asked her, you know, what would have happened if she got pregnant again? And they would have had to abort because it would have killed my mother to carry another child to term. And my mother was like, the government has no right to tell me what to do with my body. And this was a woman born in 1923 and who got married at 29, you know, and was only with my father, but was very, very clear about the government's right, her right to control her own body. And this to me, this is so personal to me because, you know, they have no right, no hospital, no government really has any right to say when somebody is brain dead, no, we can't let them, we can't take them off. It's like Terri Schiavo, only
much
worse.
This
you know,
was
I mean,
worse,
this was absolutely horrible. And yeah. I just don't, it's something that's very clearly passionate with me because I just feel like the government here, on one hand, they're saying Texas, everybody should have a gun so they can walk into a mall and shoot everybody up. But, oh, God forbid we should let a fetus die because the mother's brain dead and the fetus's child's probably not going to make it to term. No. Right, we can't do that.
Right. And
very eloquent.
Thank you.
I am in total agreement with you.
Thank you. Thank you. And we are not arguing. And your fangs are in and everything.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the retractable clause you have to be worried about. It's the... There was a line in one of the articles that I was really that kind of like shook me exactly to your point, Libby, which was that Marlise Muniz was removed from life support today and her body was finally released to her husband, which means that her body was taken from her husband
right.
for a very long period of time.
That is startling language.
They're married. There's legal rights here. You know, one of the things, reason why we wanted same-sex marriage among all the others, and there was a law that was passed in New York before same-sex marriage, is the ability to control the remains of your loved ones.
Exactly.
And for some people, it's very, very important. For most people, that's very important.
This is another example of the war on women. That woman's rights, her family's rights, everybody's rights were subjugated to an unborn child, possibly not a viable child.
Terrible.
No balancing at all.
Right. And somebody said, they said that somebody had come forward and wanted to adopt the child. I mean, give me a break.
I know.
Just give me a break.
That was like Terri Schiavo was smiling and was aware.
Right.
And then the autopsy, of course, showed what was really going on, which is nothing. Alan, you're very quiet.
No, I have great respect for both of you, really, and I don't. I don't think it's appropriate to. I mean, you know, I'm a person who believes, and by the way, so much in women's issues that it becomes the most important thing for me when I walk into a voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, absolutely. But I don't. I think you know what you're talking about.
I actually do have a policy that I do not discuss abortion with anyone who does not have a womb. I just think that's inappropriate.
That is a very good policy. Well, I won't vote for anybody who's not pro-choice or pro-gay rights. It's just that simple. Nor will I work for a candidate.
Yeah, I can't think of.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and go on to other issues. We welcome your comments as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Rare Earth Wine Bar on The Circle, Glens Falls, New York, announcing their grand opening, specializing in pairing food and wines from around the world. Rare Earth Wine Bar on Facebook. Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs. SteveLewisSubaru.com. And Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, providing high-efficiency gas and oil heating systems to the Pioneer Valley for over 45 years, now serving the Westfield area. RichardsFuel.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Welcome back to our discussion.
Oh, boy.
Oops. You know, I leave you guys alone for 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. Get in all kinds of trouble. All right. Let's
we
go
need
back.
Your leadership.
Well,
we
thank
do.
You very much.
You know how we women are. We need control.
And men.
Stop.
Feminist hour.
Can we talk about this great story that I just thought was interesting that came out of from the weekend? The Arizona Republican Party has censored longtime Senator John McCain for what it called his long and terrible record of voting with liberal Democrats.
Yeah, sort of like Groucho Marx saying, I don't want to be a member of any party that wants me or any organization wants me, you know?
The Voice vote Saturday came from the floor of the party's meeting in Tempe, Arizona. While the resolution does not have an impact on McCain's work in Congress, the party pledges it would not support campaign for or endorse the Republican senator. Only in times of great crisis or betrayal is it necessary to publicly censor our leaders. Today we're faced with both. For too long we have waited, hoping Senator McCain would return to our party's values on his own. That has not happened, reads the resolution, which has been is out on the internet. You can see it if you go to CNN, some other sites that have it. So the Arizona GOP said 704 of the 1,658 committee members were present for the meeting. This was a guy that ran for president. This was a guy who is still considered to be a strong conservative, and sure. Yet not conservative enough.
Well, you know,
in Arizona,
I think, Joe, that he was, let's put it this way, permanently scarred by that mm-hmm. presidential campaign, because he takes a lot of opportunities to criticize Obama. A lot of
Benghazi, the latest.
Yes, that's right. So to sort of say to censure him and say that, you know, he's too pro-Obama or to even hint at it is crazy. But he is a guy who tends to tell you what he thinks. But his judgment is not always good. I have two words which will prove that. Sarah Palin. You know, I mean, So he is, I think the Arizona Republican Party, his party, by basically going in this direction, hurts themselves. Because it appears to all those people who voted for McCain again and again that they're being devalued. So I think it's a major mistake on their part to do it for him. I don't know if he runs again.
Interestingly, he had no comment whatsoever on it, which I think is what it deserved. If he had been censored for sure. picking Sarah Palin and for some of the other lack of judgment issues that we could bring up here, that would be one thing. But he's specifically named for voting for immigration, voting with people on the other side of the aisle. That's the whole bipartisanship
that we began this program with.
Yeah, God forbid. Right. So it does actually bolster the argument that you and Libby made earlier that this is endemically not going to happen for Obama because they don't want bipartisan. They're censoring people who actually engage in healthy debate across the aisle, which is the way it's supposed to work.
How old is he? Do we know how old?
He's 77 years old.
77.
He is considering another run.
Right, he would run in 2016, and he would be 79 years old.
That's...
My bet is he runs, he wins. I don't think...
he runs for president and
No.
He runs for Senate.
He runs for Senate again and he wins.
I think he's too old.
Well, you know, there are those of us who are pushing some of our age things, and we have a certain amount of...
That's why I brought it up.
A certain amount
You're
of...
You're not running the Senate, though. I know WAMC is important, Alan, but the Senate, the U.S. Senate?
We have a certain amount of resentment towards...
Well, he's not running
ageism.
Towards
ageism, you know.
If the person is is ready, willing, and able,
and cognitively fine.
Yes.
Well.
And I mean, it's for a 6-year. It is a 6-year term.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there has been a precedent set. I mean, you look at
yes, and there is a precedent set. I have two words to use Alan's construction here that proves why it shouldn't happen. Strom Thurmond.
Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, but for example, as the old Yiddish expression goes, for example, stinks. So. you know, you can't take somebody and say just because he's of this demographic, I could find you some Cruz or one of those guys mm-hmm. who were much younger.
What happened to the idea of fresh blood is good? We need new thinking. We need outside the box.
So but what's don't wrong you with that?
He's inside the Beltway. He's old and establishment. He's had a chance for his ideas to work.
Two rules for elected officials: get elected, get reelected. That's it.
And by the way, that may well be what his strategy was in pro-immigration.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, wait a second now. We know that we have
we'll get some Democratic votes.
Well, we'll get some immigration votes because we know what happened in the presidential election. If somebody really shows that they're out of it. But there aren't going to be term limits in the United States Senate. It's not going to happen. The only person who has term limits that I know of is God.
And the president.
Yeah. And when when somebody says when the Almighty says enough, then that's enough. You're gone.
Well, voters could do that too if they would.
Right. They could.
They thought.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what this does, the Arizona Republicans, what they just did is they once again have said to the fastest growing cohort of voters, Hispanic voters in this country, you don't count, we don't care.
Yep.
And that's what the Tea Party is saying over and over and over again. So, you know, they might have a heyday for a few more years, but as more of these younger Hispanics become of voting age and they start to vote, you know, we're going Democratic.
Yep.
And so we've gotten some mail, Joe.
Ooh. Yes.
Well, we heard, for example, from Pamela, who said, "Hi, while I'm fervently supportive of a woman's right to control her fertility and body, listen to these discussions and can't refrain from asking, why are reproductive issues solely women's issues? Men are half the chromosomes and are increasingly held financially responsible, even if not in a couple with a woman, and for families, reproductive freedom affects the whole family. I don't understand why men aren't equally outraged." Well, I think many of us are.
Yeah.
And it's great that they are.
Yeah, yes. I think that's... Yeah.
Feminism does not have to do with gender. You're right.
I want to go to our...
There are more.
Go ahead.
No. Okay, then Sally said...
I'm not getting any of these for some reason. I don't know why, but go ahead. That's...
Thank you for your conversations this morning. I couldn't not hear what Rosemary and Libby said about... their policies, could they repeat them? No, not now.
Call us up, we'll tell you.
No, it's going to be online in just a few minutes, and you can go back and listen to it. It'll be there.
And then Sean said we should have more balance on the program.
What, someone in favor of keeping the dead woman alive so her baby's born or defective baby's born? We need someone who say, that's a good idea?
Yeah, somebody called Libby the female and then talked about somebody who's on one of those cheap AM stations, you know, who writes for a certain...
Really? I'm the female Rush Limbaugh or
no,
Sean Hannity?
No,
or...
more local than that.
Oh.
More local than
who's that?
Who's that? I never pronounced that guy's name on the air, so I would never...
Very funny. That's really funny.
and like that, that's all...
I'm not that far to the left. People need to understand
that. No,
you're not. I mean, people need to understand.
No, I found many places where your thinking is defective, Libby.
Well, thank you so much, Rosemary. And get those fangs back in, will you?
All right. So final topic for this morning, and that will be the mall shooting in Maryland. Well, yeah, this is the suspect. The shooter has been identified, and there's still no motive known as to why this young man, 19 years old, went into a shopping mall and killed a young man, a young woman, before apparently killing himself.
And we get a lot of that, right? In each of these shootings, we've often heard from the police, we have no idea why this thing happened. But it's possible it's copycat stuff. Because the same thing happens, they go in, they shoot, they kill themselves.
Here's what I find scary about these latest. There was also a shooting in a school in North, in a college where a student was firing a gun too, illegally obtained in both cases. I'm hearing more from young people interested in getting guns. Like, see, this stuff is happening. We need protection.
The NRA is
winning. There mm-hmm. more people are being interested.
I think you're right.
And I know. I think we ought to be watching that with great fear.
So you have some courageous people like Andrew Cuomo in this case here in the state, and that was an act of courage because he knew what was going to happen, and you know, turned numbers of people against him, and then the president doing the same thing because they're doing what's right. I like to think of dinner time around the Obama table, which is, you know, he's been getting criticism for eating with his family.
What a horrible thing to do.
For eating with his family. And I like to think, maybe I'm projecting, that Michelle is the voice of conscience, and that there's some things that get laid on that table, you know, that just got put on the table that say, you know, too many guns. And, you know, and the guy goes out and he does what's right on that. Yeah. Now, of course, it's possible. He believes that, too. More than possible. But
we don't need the guns. I mean, that's the thing. We just don't need them. What, you know, how many more killings do we need in a week?
There's two things that I want to. There was one police official said it's very difficult to stop a lone gunman who may have mental issues and wants to kill people. You can only do so much to stop that, which got me thinking because I don't know if anybody saw the 60 Minutes piece last night on the Virginia State Senator Craig.
That was an amazingly moving piece.
It was an amazing piece about this was the state senator who. Who was trying? Whose son had mental illness?
Yeah.
They wanted to get him into a hospital. They couldn't find a bed. The only option that they had at that moment was for him to be released into his father's custody. He went home, and he stabbed his father, who showed these very visible scars on his face and body yesterday.
Crying, it was terrible.
And then ended up killing himself with a gun. And it was, you know, it brings us back to this whole mental health issue that we don't want to talk about. And I thought, and I forget the statistics that Scott Pelley used at the end, but basically saying of how much money had been cut for mental health.
Always among the first cuts.
The first.
Because they have the least political constituency.
I mean, got it. Just absolutely gutted.
So, that is the issue. Why was there no bed for this obviously troubled boy? He's writing in a journal, you know, my father is evil. He must die. I mean, this is a troubled young boy and no bed for him.
No. And they went to Yale Medical Center and they had a nurse practitioner there talking on the story and saying, look, we have... What was it, 70 beds or something? We have 70 beds.
All filled up.
They're all filled up, and we have a waiting list to get into those beds, and there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, in New York State and other places, we closed down the snake pits that were often, you know, sort of just taking people and putting them away and nothing else happening, and we said there were going to be community mental health centers. I wrote my doctorate on this very issue, and
it never happened.
And it never happened. It just
we shut
didn't
down
happen.
The snake pits. Good, but then nothing opened.
Sure.
The homeless population comes from this. Violence comes from this.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We're going to end there, but I thank you very much for joining us this morning. You can email us by going to roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page, or tweet. at WAMC Roundtable. And thank you all very much. It was good to have you here. And we'll talk tomorrow.
And everything gets posted, right, that people send
in? Yes, okay. Absolutely. All on the website. All will be on WAMC.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.